Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
What's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the oh-so-deadly shiny object syndrome and how to avoid it. Before we do that, though, I want to talk to you guys about Casual Fridays REI consulting program. This is something that we're really excited to be offering, guys. Basically, we're here to help. It doesn't matter if you're brand new to this and you just want some help picking and pricing a county, or you've been at it for a while and you're looking for some ways to expand. All you got to do is go to our website at casualfridaysrei.com, click on the consulting tab, walk through the sign up, and we'll be in contact to help you get started.
Yeah, Friday.
It's a good day.
Tomorrow is the day, is the chance to meet the Casual Friday guys live.
Yeah.
I think we're 35 people in attendance is going to be.
It's good. It's a good number.
I'm liking it. I think it's going to be important, though, because you're going to, today we're going to talk about shiny object syndrome, and I think that is these networking events kind of create that a little bit.
Really?
I think so, because here's my thought process behind this. This is what always scares me about going to them, because I'm and you were the same way, I think, because you're a serial entrepreneur as well. And I hate the term serial entrepreneur, but we love the idea of financial freedom, being our own boss, and the quickest way to get there, whatever that is.
Okay.
So we've done, how many businesses have we done throughout the years? Quite a few.
Yeah.
We have found the most success in land. Mm-hmm. Because it has been easy. It's straightforward. We buy low, sell high. We've created our own inbound flow, and we've kind of worked through this. So now when we start, we layer on our business. We don't say, hey, I'm doing land. I'm doing really well at it. ATMs are awesome. Let's go run down that course. We've looked at them, but we were it doesn't make as much as land.
Yeah.
I think that somebody that hasn't found their groove in whatever niche they are, they tend to go to a networking event. They meet Adam and say, Adam does all cash flow proper or all terms deals. I'm going to do only terms deals and I'm going to do only this. And then next week, the same guy will call you next week and be like, hey, man, you know anything about cryptocurrency? I do, but that's not what we're talking about, man. Let's keep going. Because I've had that happen with a consulting client. He's like, I think he calls me. We wholesale property. He's going to make $5,000 off this property. He sells it, makes $5,000 off it. He calls me. He goes, oh, man, I think I'm going to invest in some gold. Do you know anything about gold? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you have some? I was like, a little bit, but just that was from years ago. It just kind of sits. It doesn't do anything. Okay, cool. I think that's where it's at right now. And I was like, okay. 2 weeks later, do you know anything about cryptocurrency? Yeah, I do. But I don't buy it like that.
Yeah, shiny object syndrome is extremely dangerous, right? Which I think that most entrepreneurs have had it, though. I mean, it's one of those things where you're getting started in whatever niche you pick.
Yeah.
Right. It's not super easy because starting a business just isn't easy.
Yep.
And then comes along some really good sales copy that you see on Facebook that's promising, I don't know, $40,000 a month on autopilot while you travel the world. Simple plug and play system. And all of a sudden it gets your attention.
I mean, I want to go live on a beach with my hot wife and my kids and make $40,000 a month.
Yeah. Here I am 7-8 months into my business and I'm still working really hard. And this guy tells me I can do this. Well, let me look into it.
Yeah. So I hit the clickbait, watch the promotional video this guy shot on his GoPro and to buy his course,
which is probably several thousand dollars.
Yeah, that's how he's making $40,000 a month.
Yeah.
It's not because he's actually doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And so that is like the most detrimental thing to an entrepreneur's success that I can really, think of.
Yeah, and I see this since we get to talk to Steve and Jill over at Land Academy a lot, and Steve, his mind works a lot like ours does, and he sees an idea and then he just wants to chase it down. And he goes at it. And you look at the family of products they have. A lot of them are great, but you offers to owners, parcel facts. Some of those things are game changing for us in our industry. But then I'm curious of how many things that he looks at, that he chases down, and I was having drinks with him and he was talking about a Mongolian restaurant. I'm like, dude, you're like the guy that taught people how to land invest. What are you looking at a Mongolian restaurant for? And I think it's a trait in all entrepreneurs that we have to look at these other ideas But you have to stay focused on your business. You have to get your business to a point where it's working for you and you're not getting off target. You know, like, it's easy to say, hey, I'm a land investor. I'm going to buy an apartment complex today. I've done it. It doesn't work as easy. It made decent money, but it was like, it wasn't where my heart was.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much to be said about this like niche that I don't even really, or this idea, this syndrome, you know, I don't really know where to go. Cause we can keep saying like what it is and how it affects you. You know, how do we combat it?
How do we combat it?
I have a tool that I use.
Okay. What's that?
It's called the parking lot.
Okay.
Have I told you? Do you know what this is?
No, I have an idea what it is, but we've never had this conversation. Now I'm intrigued.
Okay.
I'm getting shiny object syndrome. Show me your parking lot.
So the parking lot is real simple.
Okay.
It's not my idea. I got it from someone else, so I can't claim it, but it's an Excel sheet.
Okay.
And that's it.
Why don't you call it the parking garage and you can trademark that?
I'm not looking to trademark it.
Okay. Where my money at?
Would you just tag me in a video about you can't trademark anything?
I did, didn't I? That's so 1983.
So the parking lot's real simple.
Okay.
Excel sheet.
Okay.
Every time you get a harebrained idea, you put it, you write it down in Excel, and you wait 90 days.
Okay.
At the end of 90 days, if it's still, you still thought about it every day, you still think it's a good thing, you still think it's going to add to your business, or you think it's, then look into it.
Okay.
And most of the time you'll find, I would say for me, at least every time, I'll find at the end of that 90 days, I've either forgotten about it.
Okay.
Or I'm not interested, or it's just, it's nothing.
So parking lot, you know, 90 days. So what you're saying is we have the idea, you put it in there for 90 days and you go from there. So like in that 90 days, do you do any looking at that?
No.
Like, so you don't go research it anymore and chase it down?
No. Nope. That's it. It goes on the lot, you leave it there.
Okay.
And if it's gnawing at you, if it's eating at you the whole entire time, then you can look into it.
Okay.
But it most likely won't be. You'll forget about it.
Huh. So we're talking about combating this, but we also talk about layering and scaling up your land business. So how would that fit if, like, say I was trying to add a different layer to my land business?
It fits the same way.
Okay.
So that's actually how I got this is this real estate guy that I talked to one time, he was telling me about it. And if he wants to add something to his business, So let me backtrack. He sets a path for his business for the year.
Okay.
During that time, if something else comes up, he puts it in the parking lot. So let's say his entire goal for the year is to do cash flips.
Okay.
And all of a sudden he comes up with a new way, or at least in their brain, is to start selling owner finance lots like crazy, right?
Okay.
Instead of veering from his goal, his path, he puts the new idea in the parking lot and comes back to it 90 days later if he's still thinking about it, if it's still bothering, if he still thinks it's a good idea.
Yeah. See, for me, I like that. And I think I do something similar, but I still kind of lightly move my business. So if it can be added on with little, like just a little bit of finesse onto it to get there. So like I'll use, for example, we ran eBay business when we first got started in the first, 2017, 2018, we didn't really do much with it. About halfway through 2018, we decided, hey, as we start moving into 2019, we're going to ramp that side of the business back up. The little property went to hire somebody. They didn't work out. Got another opportunity in December, said, okay, hey, well, this is the plan I had planned on doing back, but we hadn't initialized it yet. Let's get it started and get it going. And so, you know, we tried to hire two different people to get that up and going. The third person actually worked out and we've got it going now. So what you're telling me is I shouldn't have touched anything with it for 90 days and then decided.
Well, that's the idea here.
Okay.
I mean, I personally think it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
You know, for people that like to create, and people that like to do this kind of stuff, to veer off of your plan in any direction, whether it's small or large, is just it can get you.
Okay. Yeah. I man.
That's why when I say like I'm focused on owner financing deals, I don't want to look at anything else.
Yeah.
I don't want to give myself that opportunity to be like, well, now I'm flipping cash flips where I only make $100,000 profit because it's so easy. I can go here, right?
Yeah.
It's owner finance deals. I'm paying this much for it. Don't talk to me about anything else.
And then you got me and I'm always like, everywhere. I'm like, let's flip a house today. What'd you do today? I don't know. I bought a house. I thought I was going to flip it. It seemed like a fun thing to do. But in good news though, like, I mean, we have gotten the experience. And for me, I had to get a massive amount of experience in real estate really quickly to keep growing the business, whether it's, you know, land, houses, or what. Land by far has been the best way to grow the wealth of our companies. Houses have done okay. We just put the other one that we put on the market last week. It was under contract in 8 hours with $1,000 offer. It was $1,000 less than we had it listed for. And we negotiated with him because the guy was a disabled vet. We were excited and we appreciate his service. Both of us back, you know, our service members were super, super excited about that, to have the opportunity to show a little bit of latitude and, you know, ability to negotiate down with that. You know, it seemed kind of like my ability to give back a little bit. You know, we had a backup offer, full price backup offer put in. I said, hey, just in case something happens, we want to be there. So,
I mean, that's a good thing. That's when it, that's when it goes well.
Yeah. But and the other one.
What about, well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, what about the, you know, that was, you veered off from land and it went well, but what about, and I'm not you specifically, but what about other investors when they veer off when they're going, it doesn't go well.
Yeah, no, you lose everything that you made and you're having to rebuild back over.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot with a lot of newer investors as we're talking to them. They want to scale up really fastly. And so they're grasping at straws. They're grasping at anything they can get to grow their business that they think is going to work because they saw somebody else do it somewhere else. And that's, I think that you're extremely right to be hyper-focused on your niche and growing that. I would say that, you know, starting to add in something a little bit different. So if it's like, hey, I'm going to do this many properties are going to be my cash flow properties, and then I'm going to go for a cash flip property, you know, I'm going to add that in too. And don't, but you don't turn down a cash offer. And I think I think people may get misunderstand that a little bit. Like they think Adam's only going to take $200 a month for this property. No, if some guy walks up and you have $2,000 in the property, he says, I'll give you $4,500 cash today. Sold.
Yeah, I take that every time, but I am a little like angry about it.
Really?
Yeah, it does like make me.
You just bought two more properties.
I feel it in my chest though. I'm like, ah, there goes that cash flow. Man, I just doubled my money.
Life is so tough. What is it? What is that on Winnie the Pooh? Is that Eeyore? That's just like, life's tough.
I guess I no kids. I don't. And it's been 30 years since I watched that. So, but yeah, I just love owner finance. But I will never turn down a cash offer.
Okay.
You know, and I will still do the big flips when I run out of money to go buy more cash flowing properties, right? And so I just did that right now. Sent out a bunch of mailers so that I can do some big flips and then put that money all back into cash flow. But that's...
And that's cool that Sue, but like Sue, you said that, like that's like, it's I don't know how... It's reverse logic from what a lot of people would think. Is you said, and I want to repeat what you said, is I run out of money for this, so I'm going to do some big flips to get that. And the cool thing about that now is with the niche, land investors... Land Tank, Plum, you have partners there that'll jump in with you to help you do those big flips.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing about all this is that your business is set up in a way that, hey, I'm hyper-focused here. I'm maybe adding in this layer with somebody else's money here, using the same knowledge I have, and then you grow your business. That's not shiny object syndrome to me. That is saying, hey, my business does this, and I can add this little piece in here with this. You just added a new department, essentially.
Yeah. I agree with you. I don't think it is shiny object syndrome either because it's all part of the plan, right? It's like more money to do more owner finance deals. Now, how do I have to do that if I have to once, twice, three times a year do some big flips and put that money back in? Then no big deal, right? But when the time comes and my cash flow is $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month, which I'm hoping comes real soon.
Yeah.
Every day I'm getting closer, right? I'm nowhere near that right now, but I'm definitely getting closer every day. Like, I don't know if I'll do cash flips unless someone just wants to pay cash. Like it won't be a priority because I have enough money coming in every month to do it.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I mean, I think the major topic is here is don't get so far off base. Like I see in shiny object syndrome, we're talking about the type of business we're doing as overall. I've kind of started to see it on people the way they get their deals and it's cost them. So they go, hey, I use this direct mail method. It works. I got all these deals. Hey, what about cold calling for... cold calling, you know, ringless voicemails, this going to Facebook marketing to get their inbound deals and things like that. And I see these guys do this and it ends up putting them out of business.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point because we were just talking about like
overall, the big thing. But like in your business, though, you have certain things that may catch your attention. Like I'll read about some of that stuff, but I do parking lot that. Like I'm like, oh, let me read about that and see if it's still here in 4 months. See if it's still the hot thing. Or is it the hot thing because that person's spending a ton of money on Facebook and that's where I saw it. Or I see it on Instagram right now.
Yeah, because I see this ad on my Facebook page all the time. It's where this guy's using Facebook ads to target specific people to make offers to them.
Okay.
Right. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty interesting. You know, if you can, because with Facebook, you have that ability, you can zone in on certain things and just through Facebook make that kind of offer. But then to actually do it, now I either got to pay this guy or I got to take all this time away from my business to go learn it. And then what if it doesn't work when I know I have a tried and true tested method over here? You know, it goes in the parking lot.
Yep. No, I think that you can get yourself in trouble really quickly by doing that. You know, the shiny object syndrome, another layer I want to add to that is the worry of the CRM, the attorney, the CPA, all this extra stuff for your business. And we talked about that, getting your business started, you know, done is better than perfect sometimes. And that's to me is a shiny object syndrome too, is that I'm so worried that I don't have the right CPA in place. Man, you can figure that out. That's you, at the end of the year, you're going to say, hey, I did this. I paid this much. I sold it for this much. And I had this much expenses. That's simple. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some more things in there that you can add, but I'm just keeping it simple for you. Mm-hmm. So the shiny object syndrome of trying to get too far outside of the actual, just the simplicity of your business and running from that. I'd like to add that in there.
Well, it's added.
Thank you. You're not going to edit me out there.
Nope. I only edit out your nonsense and your curse words.
You actually edit my curse words out?
Well, we're a G-rated show. I'm not leaving them in.
Dang it.
Okay, any final thoughts? I think we got the point across pretty good.
Yeah, I think that as people naturally and organically find us on our podcast and they're listening to us and they're looking for those side hustles and things like that, you know, the biggest detriment they can find is bouncing from side hustle to side hustle, never giving it time to actually grow. And I think that's important for us because we want to see people become successful. We don't teach a class. We don't teach a course. We think that there's four or five out there that do, and they teach a pretty solid course with some things, with some tweaks that we can help people accelerate their success. And I think that's what everybody wants is a little bit of a success accelerator. And it's important that we don't get lost in the shiny, the Instagram drip or flex or whatever you want to call it, and keep growing to go better. Put your head down, give yourself a year, do some work. If you're profitable after your first year, great. If you made a ton of money, even better. If you lost a little bit of money, but you learned a lot, even better.
Yeah, just keep moving.
You got to keep going forward.
All right, that's it. We hope you guys have a great weekend. And while you're enjoying it, take a second, go to Facebook, go to Instagram, give us a like, give us a follow, and also go to iTunes and like, rate, and subscribe to the show. We love it. We love you for it.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate it. And we will be back on Monday. All right.
Yeah. No, one thing that the listeners that we are going to see tomorrow, we will see you tomorrow, Top Texas Land Investors Live.
Yep. All right. Thanks. Bye.